Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Redis Tukhanov, broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. We're back to our sort of discursive format this week as we recap match day 23 in La Liga, which means that we have lots of little chats with all of our squad members located in Spain, but we still pack it into less than half an hour for you. But there is a lot to get through. So let's start off this week with an eventful Madrid derby at the Wanda Metropolitano. Real Madrid visiting Atletico, winning by 3-1. Started off by Casemiro. His bicycle kick to give the visitors the lead. That lead cancelled out by Antoine Griezmann, who nutmegged Thibaut Courtois with his finish. Then Vinicius was brought down by Jose Jimenez, penalty given and tucked away by Sergio Ramos for 1-2. Gareth Bale then came on as a sub and fired home Madrid's third. Thomas Partey also sent off for a second booking after that, but that was only half the story. Controversial game because of what didn't happen as much as what did. So let's go through all of that with Ewan McTeer, who is in the Spanish capital. Hi there, Ewan. So first of all, let's just try and get your take on all the main points of debate, because there were quite a few. I'd like a quick fire answer for each of these situations, please. So first of all, was Vinicius fouled by Angel Correa in the build-up to Griezmann's equaliser?
Nope, not enough for Phil in my view.
Okay, should it have been a penalty for Real Madrid? So was Vinicius fouled by Jimenez inside the box, or was it outside?
No, the foul was outside the box, I reckon.
Okay, so no pen. Should Morata's goal, which was ruled out for offside, have stood?
This is the closest one, but I think yes. Going by the offside lines from the guys who I've seen do this, the trustworthy guys who do this, he was probably just onside.
Okay, and should Morata have got a penalty? So was he fouled by Casemiro in the 18-yard box?
No, if Correa and Vinicius isn't a foul, then this one isn't either. I mean, it's a derby, come on.
Okay, right. So there we are. So maybe it could have been 2-2 with Morata scoring, but, you know, admittedly, there's discussion on both sides. Diego Simeone admitted after this game, Ewan, that Madrid were the better team. Ultimately, do you feel that Atleti were hard done by enough that it would have changed the outcome of the game if the decisions had been different?
Yeah, quite probably, because I guess the two calls just mentioned there that I think were wrong were both massive ones and swung the game from 1-1 to 2-1, or could have swung it from 2-1 to 2-2. So it probably would have altered the outcome, but I do like what Simeone said there. He didn't blame the refereeing afterwards. Most of the players didn't either. Didn't really like the way the club responded with their Saturday night tweet. I mean, that's not how an elite European club should really behave. They posted a tweet late on Saturday night with free still images of incidents they thought went against them. I mean, pick up the toys, guys, and put them back in the pram.
VAR, of course, at the centre of all this. What's the biggest challenge here? Is it the actual tool itself? Is it how it's interpreted? Is it how it's applied? What do you think?
I think the main problem with VAR right now is there's a lack of understanding of the fact that it's really just there for clear and obvious errors, and the fact that we're all still debating these four incidents several days afterwards. And, you know, my opinion isn't a definitive one, and, you know, there's other people who will make arguments the opposite way that I have. And that's the point. None of these ones were clear and obvious. Offsides, you think, should be clear and obvious, but even then, it all depends on exactly when you freeze the frame, when the ball comes out, or exactly where you draw the lines from the shoulder down, all this kind of thing. It's not always clear and obvious, and I think that's something we have to keep in mind.
Okay, fallout from this game then. Back-to-back defeats for Atleti. Now, how much pressure on them now? Because ultimately they play Juventus in the last 16 of the Champions League next week. If they get a bad result in the first leg, I mean, is their season unravelling?
Pretty much. I mean, they're out of the cup. They're even further behind in the title race after these last couple of weeks. So, yeah, really all they've got to fight for over the rest of the season is the Champions League. And it's not going to be easy, that first hurdle against Juventus. That really is a massive game now.
And for Real Madrid, 5 wins out of 5 in La Liga. So are they suddenly title contenders?
No, I'm going to say not just yet. Let's calm down. Looking at the 5 matches they've won, it's Betis, Sevilla, Espanyol, Alaves and Atletico Madrid. 5 teams that aren't having the best start to 2019. And another team in Spain that's having a pretty terrible time so far this year is Girona, the team they beat in the Cup. So that's why I'm really excited to see how they get on in the doubleheader Clásico coming up, because that'll be a real test.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. Let's move on to another game in your patch, Hugh, and Leganés' 3-0 victory at home to Real Betis. I'm not sure that many of us necessarily picked it would be a win that big. Youssef En-Nesyri with a hat-trick. The first completely unmarked at a corner. Second that he tapped in Oscar's superb centre. The third, a goal on the break, played in by Martin Braithwaite. An excellent finish as well. Javi Garcia later shown a straight red card for a dangerous challenge on Oscar Rodriguez. So Betis finishing the game with 10 men. So Youssef En-Nesyri's got 8 league goals this season. 6 of those have come in the last 3 games. How come this burst of form right now? And what do you like about him, Ewan?
Well, I mean, I'm going to put on my tactical hat here just for a moment, right, and explain this. So a couple of months ago, Leganés moved to a back five system, mostly to show up the defence. But what this did was created a sort of secondary striker role. They play a 5-3-1-1 almost, and he plays in that role. And now he's got so much more space to work in. And, you know, to put it simply, that's kind of the reason that he's having this success in the last few weeks.
And he's really helped propel them up the table. I mean, I know that placings and points are different things in La Liga right now, but Leganés are 11th. Only 2 defeats in the last 13 La Liga games. One of those was against Barcelona as well. Can they look upwards in the table, or are they still kind of looking over their shoulders at this point?
No, I don't know. I think this is still very much a relegation battle season for Leganés. They're up to 11, sure, that's great, but I think they'll be closer to the drop zone than that when the end of the season comes. But to keep up this form, they should be on the right side of it, I'm sure.
Quick word on Betis. They've only taken 7 points from their last 7 league games, Hugh. And what's the most concerning thing for Quique Setién in terms of their overall play right now?
I think the most concerning thing is that they're just so boring. They just keep the ball, they pass it around, they don't really do anything with it. I tweeted the start of this game, 2 minutes in, Leganés had already had about 5 shots, and I said that's more than Betis are probably going to have all game, tongue-in-cheekly, but it ended up being correct. And Quique Setién was quite critical of Leganés' style after the game, saying they only do 4 things. They do them well, but they only do 4 things. And that's not gone down at all well here in Spain. People are quite upset that he's been so critical, so snidey, almost holier than thou, especially when his team can be quite boring at times and they don't always win.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Ewan. Well, this was our chosen game on Partidazo Predictions, with Alex Johnson getting her final score forecast spot on, earning her 3 points. I also went for a Madrid win, but didn't get the exact score, so I get 1 point. This is how the table looks. Paco Polit is on 21 points. Ewan, you stay on 14. I move up to 12. Román de Arquer remains on 10, where he's now joined by Alex. Well, our next port of call is Bilbao. Right, to one of the other big games of the weekend. Leaders Barcelona held to a 0-0 draw away to Athletic Club, but it was actually the home side who had the better chances in this one, particularly through Raúl García in the first half, also Miquel San José, and particularly Iñaki Williams in the second. Marc-André Ter Stegen making some important saves to keep the scores level. Barca were poor before the break, they improved only slightly after it once Lionel Messi started dictating. It means they once again dropped points after drawing at home to Valencia last time out in La Liga, but they remain 6 clear of second place, with now Madrid their nearest challengers. Well, Alex Johnson is our lady in the north of Spain. Alex, you were at this game. Just how impressive were Athletic?
Well, to start with, I think it was a complete different Athletic than we saw the other weekend at Anoeta. Everything that was going wrong there was going right this time. It was the hard-working Athletic again, the unity and all of that. But what impressed me the most was the way they defended, and then how quickly they turned it around to very, very dangerous counter-attacks. And just how the confidence in the team, and as it grew through the match, it was just so many, many small details, and just how they worked together in preventing Barcelona to really create anything. They only had one shot on goal all night. I think that says a lot.
It does. It all came together for Athletic, even though they didn't win. It's still an impressive result. But, well, there are two sides to every story. Luis Suarez says the Barcelona were lacking in communication. Why do you think that's happening, and why now?
Well, I think it's happening because Barcelona are playing a wildly mixed team every match lately. And I think the pass that Suarez is mainly referring to is one that was towards Semedo, but was morely expected for a Jordi Alba movement to come out of it. And that it comes down to instinct, because so much of Barcelona do is just of instinct. The way Suarez, Messi, Jordi Alba, Busquets, how they play together is they don't really need to think. They just know by instinct how each other are going to move and how the passes are going to come. So when you then get a lot of injuries, you got new players coming in, it really doesn't help the communication on the pitch, and I think that's where the problem lies.
You mentioned Jordi Alba. How important is he? How much do Barcelona rely on him and also the keeper, Marc-André Ter Stegen?
Well, if we start with Jordi Alba, for me, I think he is the second most important player for Barcelona at the moment after Lionel Messi. And I think we saw that specifically in this match, just how much he was missed. And one of the things that makes him so important and valuable for them is that they don't really have any backup for him. He's just so great in the defensive work. He runs, he makes assists, he's everywhere. He's just a complete fullback at the moment. While with Ter Stegen, they have a great goalkeeper in Cillessen who can come in if Ter Stegen can't play. With that said, Ter Stegen was probably the man of the match for Barcelona in this match and was definitely the man who saved them from losing.
How do you assess the title race then, Alex? Barcelona 6 points clear, but now of Real Madrid who beat Atletico.
Well, for me, it's wide open, to be honest. This league is just so incredible, where anything can happen. Anyone can lose against anyone. We've seen Barcelona lose against Leganés, Atletico against Betis, Real Madrid against several teams as well. So there's a long way to go, and no one can feel safe. It's just wide open.
For Athletic Club, it's still just two defeats since Gaizka Garidano took over. What would you say is a realistic ambition for them now? Just avoiding relegation or finishing top half or maybe even pushing for Europe?
Well, it's a little bit the same here, that it's so open. It's like 3 points can differ from if you're fighting for relegation or if you're fighting for Europe. With that said, just the confidence you're seeing in Athletic now and the development they have been doing compared to other teams. We have teams like Espanyol and Girona who started the season amazingly, but are now just in a free fall. While Athletic, they had a more rough starting to the season where they couldn't win for several matches, and now everything is just going good for them. So in that sense, they are in a much better position going forward and most of the teams in the same area of the table where they are. So I think they should look upwards.
And what about the atmosphere at San Mamés? How was it for you?
It's incredible. It's always amazing at San Mamés, and especially because there's so many locals on the matches. There's so many season ticket holders, people who are sitting in the same place match after match, which just creates this special atmosphere. And this match, it was incredible as well. A lot of sound, and I think there was a few times where I thought I was going deaf by all the sound that was coming out of that stadium.
Thanks for that, Alex. That's it for part one of this podcast, but still 7 games to get through. Part two is on the way shortly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Redister Karnov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. Let's crack on with our recap of matchday 23 in Spain's top division. And we're heading now to the northeast of the country. Román Darquer is in Barcelona. And Román, we'll get to Espanyol's win over Rayo, where you are, in just a moment. But first, let's go up the coast to Montilivi and chat about the game which finished Girona 0, Huesca 2. Huge win for Huesca. First time is in La Liga, currently bottom of the table. Chimi Ávila getting both goals in the first half. The first, a driven shot from distance into the bottom right-hand corner. The second, he just reacted quickest. Girona's defence were just slightly asleep, and he smashed home just outside the six-yard box for his second. Other points of note from this game, the Huesca keeper, Roberto Santamaría, making an incredible double save from Pedro Porro, and Bernardo Espinosa also getting sent off for Girona. Román, Chimi Ávila then the hero. He scored as a sub against Valladolid and then got both goals in this game. What qualities does he have?
Well, David, he's a quick and pacey player. He's capable of slotting past defenders. And as we saw with his goals, he can shoot from close range or from far. So I think he's a very complete striker.
And of course, it was his first start since December alongside Enrique Gallego, but only because Cucho Hernández was banned. So out of those three, pick two who start the next game.
Well, for me, Gallego has to start for sure because he's a hard worker. He's the intense player. So he stays for me. And then it's a tough call, but I think form is key. So I would go with Chimi Ávila. If he's scoring goals, stick with him.
And Huesca have picked up 7 points of the last nine on offer, all of those with clean sheets. What's the biggest change you've noticed?
Well, Francisco finally has found his formation, which is with three centre-backs and two full-backs. That, combined with the new signings, seems to be working pretty well. And also, I think they have a hint of luck maybe now, because they're starting to score those goals, those chances that before they were usually missing. So all that combined, I think, is the key to this.
And we've seen on our Twitter feed recently, especially from Matt Clark, who's one of our sort of long-time listeners and supporters on La Liga Lowdown, the phrase, the great Westscape. Now, Huesca is 6 points from safety as opposed to 12. So do you think they can pull it off?
I think they can pull it off. I mean, 6 points aren't that much. There's still 45 points in play. And lots of teams down there in the bottom of the league are struggling, such as Villarreal, Rayo, Celta, Valladolid. They're probably playing worse than Huesca. And I think they can make it out of there.
I mean, Girona should be added to that list, really, because they've lost their last six in all competitions. They're just above the drop zone. They haven't won in the league since November. Such an alarming slump for El Sevilla to deal with. Why?
Well, they could be added, but personally, I think they've been playing decently. They're not playing as bad as other teams. I mean, against Barca, they were very competitive. Against Huesca, they had good chances to win, but I think they have this kind of Stuani dependence, maybe, because Stuani was on great form, scoring lots of goals, and then suddenly he's struggling a lot, and that's a big problem for the team.
Okay, let's turn to Espanyol's comeback win over Rayo at the Ercer Stadium. They won by 2-1. Rayo taking the lead with an Abdoulaye Bar header. Espanyol's equaliser came after the 70-minute mark with the substitute Roulet brought down in the box, Borja Iglesias converting the penalty. And then the winner was a spectacular goal, one of the most spectacular of the entire match day. Superbly timed volley from Sergi Darder in the 5th minute of injury time from the D. Three vital points for Rubi's side. Tell us about the second half performance from Espanyol. They were totally dominant. And what really impressed you about them?
Well, it kind of reminded us of that Espanyol we'd seen at the beginning of the season, really intense, pushing really high, wanting those goals. And I mean, VAR denied Darder 2 goals before, and they wanted to prove to their fans that they could score another one and make sure the 3 points stayed at home, and they did.
And what about Roulet? Because he had his impact. Talk to us about him and also about the attention that this now brings Espanyol.
Well, it's a great move for Espanyol because he was one of the biggest stars in the Chinese league. He played 17 minutes against Villarreal, and 40 million people from China watched that live. I mean, that is amazing, taking into account that in Spain, under 200,000 people were watching that game. So that could create a major fan base for Espanyol, and would, of course, would mean more money for the clubs, better signings, and playing in Europe. And as a player, Roulet is quite competitive, to be honest. He surprised me, especially against Rayo. He forced that penalty, he created good chances, and he worked for the team. So he might be the perfect complement for Borja Iglesias up front.
And what about Espanyol generally? I mean, do you sense there's been a bit of a reaction since they lost to Real Madrid? Obviously, the comeback at Villarreal from 2-0 down to draw 2-2. This one as well, to take all 3 points at home to Rayo. Is there renewed belief, perhaps?
Well, I have to say the first half against Villarreal was very poor, but somehow they managed to change in the second half, and they've kind of prolong this good form against Rayo. So I think it's good news for them. They have to hold on to this and keep playing at this high level.
For Rayo, I was just doing a little bit of research into this. Conceding late goals seems to be a real problem. In fact, they've dropped 9 points by conceding goals in the last 10 minutes of games, and that's just since November. What do you put that down to?
I think it's about bad defending, basically. For me, Rayo has always struggled a lot in that aspect in Primera División. They usually build teams which are really creative and strong offensively, but then when it comes to avoiding conceding goals, there's always a problem, even with such a good goalkeeper such as Dimitrevski. And so that's something they have to look into seriously.
Cheers, Roman. Well, time now to focus on two teams battling to make those Europa League places. Valencia and Real Sociedad fought out a goalless draw at Mestalla. The visitors dominating possession in the first half, Adnan Januzaj going close, while the host's best chances were a Rodrigo header wide and Cristiano Piccini's shot saved by Jeronimo Rulli. Let's speak to La Liga Lowdown's Paco Polit, who went to this match. So, Paco, was it as dull as the scoreline might suggest?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a memorable game, but there were little things here and there to point out. And overall, I think Real Sociedad did a very good job. While Valencia seemed tired after their extra effort last Thursday, few chances from the away team, maybe Valencia pushed forward a little bit more, but still wasn't enough. The day was amazing, it was sunny with weather, and that made the fans to enjoy the evening at Mestalla, but yeah, the truth is that the game was not that exciting.
Yeah, a little flat really, wasn't it? But which team would you say would be happy with this result overall?
Real Sociedad, definitely. You could say that their game plan actually was exclusively about making the other team to not play at all. Stopping Valencia in the midfield, stopping Parejo, and both him and Condogbia were very flat throughout the evening, and then trying to score in the fast break. So you could say that they got 50% of the job done and got away with one more point for them.
Talk about two more Valencia players, Paco. Facundo Roncaglia making his debut after moving from Celta Vigo, and also the return of Gonzalo Guedes in the matchday squad. Came on as a substitute as well, has been out obviously for a couple of months after his surgery. So how did you rate the performances of those two players?
Roncaglia was one of the highlights of the evening, I think. It was clear that he was very concentrated on the pitch. He didn't want to mess up in his first day at the office, and he did pretty well right next to Ezequiel Garay. Overall, he did very well. And Gonzalo Guedes, meanwhile, he looked a bit out of form, you could say. But anyway, he caused a couple of bookings for the opposite team in two of his trademark runs. So I think he's still a bit... He needs a bit more work to get there to his form that marveled Valencia fans last season.
Yeah, so a bit more work, probably a bit more time. What about Real Sociedad, though? I mean, they are still unbeaten under Imanol Alguacil. It's been 8 games now. They've won 3 of those, drawn the other 5. So what have you seen in that time of him actually putting his stamp on this La Real side?
Well, they are showing that sometimes switching the coach on the bench really works. I believe Real Sociedad have the word serious written all around their face. They have increased their reliability behind, and with the occasional William Jose or Oyarzabal goal here and there sprinkled throughout their games, they are winning matches that they used to lose in the first few match days this season.
And you mentioned before that Valencia were tired. Well, they're going to have to find some energy from somewhere because, of course, European football is back and they've got Celtic over 2 legs in the Europa League last 32. How well equipped are they to take on that challenge? And also, where does this rank in the list of priorities for Valencia this season?
Well, after seeing the team this weekend, I don't really know how to answer. You know, Matteo Alemany stated back in the day that Copa del Rey wasn't a priority, but I believe now it actually is. Trying to beat Betis and playing the final, I think, is a priority. But fans also expect Valencia to do a good job against Celtic. If Marcelino is able to maybe properly rotate his players and give chances to youngsters such as Ferran Torres or Kanji Lee, or maybe newcomer Rubén Sobrino, they should be able to just make it past the next round.
And what about the rest of this season for both Valencia and Real Sociedad, and just trying to maybe qualify for Europe and the rest of this campaign? How do you see their hopes of qualifying for European football next season?
Well, in Malencia's case, I believe they have turned around their dynamic. Right now they are climbing positions slowly but steadily, and they will definitely fight for Europe, hands down. And in Real Sociedad's case, maybe the table works in their favor, and the close standings, you only have to take a look at them. It's madness this season. They might work towards their benefit. Stringing two or three or four wins in a row makes any team a contender material towards their goal. So maybe Real Sociedad, what they need is winning games, two or three, and they might be able to surprise everyone and fight for those European spots.
All right, thanks for that, Paco. Well, there are four more games to recap before we go. It finished Sevilla 2, Eibar 2. Fabian Orellana and Charles putting Eibar in control before Ever Banega was sent off. But then an incredible comeback from the 10 minutes of Sevilla with time running out. Pablo Sarabia setting up Wissam Ben Yedder before scoring the equaliser himself. Getafe came back from a goal down to beat Celta Vigo. Néstor Araujo with the opener from a header. Maxi Gómez then sent off for two rapid yellows. But it was all about Jaime Mata after that. He scored two goals, one from the penalty spot, and also set up Jorge Molina. Celta didn't hold back in their statement afterwards, criticising the referee. Alaves ended their losing streak with a comfortable 2-0 victory at home to Levante on Monday night. Victor Laguardia and Johnny with the goals, and Valladolid against Villarreal finished 0-0 at the José Zorrilla on Friday. Let's have a look at the table then. Barcelona top on 51 points, Real Madrid now second on 45, Atletico stay on 44 in third place, Sevilla fourth on 37, but Getafe and Alaves fifth and sixth both on 35 points. At the bottom, Huesca suddenly up to 18 points, Villarreal second bottom on 20, Rayo third bottom on 23, Girona and Celta both on 24 points. And don't forget to check out our Twitter feed at La Liga Lowdown. As European football returns this week, we'll keep you across the five Spanish teams involved. That's your La Liga Lowdown. See you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.